Hare Krishna. Thank you for that introduction. I think that introduction is about 10 or 11 years old. So you're still talking of me being in the movement for 23 years? Probably. That needs to be a little updated, I guess. But never mind. I am very happy to be with all of you at the School of Bhakti, of the Bhakti Vedanta Mena. And we'll be speaking about Brahma Samhita and discussing the wonderful topics described therein. I hope you're all able to hear me very clearly. Yes, okay. So I think we'll start with the Jai Radha Madhava. Yes? Okay. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय
राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी
गोपी
जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Radha Gokula Nanda, Radha Gokula Nanda Radhe. जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सतहिस् डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणार विंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा गोकुलानंद की जय श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय श्री श्री सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय श्री ब्रह्म संहिता की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. I think the video and audio is not synchronizing. Am I right? So what's the solution? Is it the internet that is weak? Or?
If it was at our end, Pranav's people will sort it out, I'm sure. But I've asked everyone to put their cameras on. That might also cause an interference, but if it counts, we can ask everyone to put their cameras
on. If you're able to see me fine, it's okay. No problem. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So I am very happy to be with all of you today. A good morning to you. It's afternoon here for me. And I selected this topic, Brahma Samhita, because it's not a text that we discuss often. We have the Srimad Bhagavatam discussed in the mornings in the temples. We have Bhagavad Gita discussed in the evenings. And in Bhakti Shastri, we have Bhagavad Gita, Ishopanishad, Nectar of Instruction, and a part of the Nectar of Devotion. So we do study all these other books. Even in Bhakti Vedanta, it's Srimad Bhagavatam, first six cantos. But there is hardly any discussion on the Brahma Samhita. And it is such an important book for us, and so nectarian, and a book with which we are familiar on a daily basis because of the Govindamadi Purusham prayers every morning at Shringar Darshan at 7 o'clock or 7:15 in our temples. So I thought it's very important that we discuss this book. So now we will, over the next for this Saturday and the three Saturdays following this, we will discuss this book. And I think all of you, or most of you, are based in the UK, am I right? Yes. Is there any other forum on which this is being broadcast? Or it's only Zoom?
I'm not actually sure about that.
Okay.
It will be Zoom at the moment. And then video will be shared with our participants.
Sorry? Someone said something, I didn't follow.
It's Pranas from one, the technical host.
Would you like to... on Zoom.
Okay. So, what I propose to do is, see, obviously, when we discuss any book, especially that which is in the form of verses, we go verse by verse, like we do in the morning Bhagavatam and evening Bhagavad Gita classes, and so we will also for the Brahma Samhita. But before we come to that, there are a lot of preliminaries that we will need to discuss. So I will mention to you what those preliminaries are, and then we will go ahead. So could I have the slides, the PPTs now, please? Okay, so this is going to be the theme of our discussion for four Saturdays beginning today. And we can see how beautiful this picture looks. There is Lord Brahma seated on the lotus flower, and he's getting the instructions via Krishna's flute as he sits on top of the lotus, absorbed in meditation. So that's the text. That's the subject that we're going to be talking about. So next, please. Okay, so an overview of this seminar on the Brahma Samhita is as follows. Just note that the very last line is the verse-by-verse discussion. And that is going to take up most of these four Saturdays, naturally. But in the first half of today's session, and if perhaps it may spill over after the break, let's see how it goes, we will discuss the other topics that have been mentioned here, the importance of the Brahma Samhita, the history of the Brahma Samhita, Lord Chaitanya finds Brahma Samhita, the structure of the Brahma Samhita text, and the topics covered in Brahma Samhita. So what I will do is, I will take each of these topics one by one. So we'll begin with discussing the importance of Brahma Samhita. Now we have so many books like the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Nectar of Devotion, and all of these are precious jewels. And each of them is so nectarian. And the Acharyas have also written many other books. And there are many other texts that exist in the Vedic compendium. So we have a whole host of sublime devotional literatures which are available to us to relish so that we can enhance our devotion.
Recording in progress.
Can we have the next slide, please? So, the Brahma Samhita is also one of the precious jewels, rather, not jewel, jewels, one of the precious jewels in the magnificent transcendental treasure house of devotional literature. There are many, but specifically what the importance is, we will see as we go along. And why is any text, let's say, considered important or valuable? By the way, I think every one of you attending this seminar has naturally heard of the Brahma Samhita before. You have been exposed to it, not just in the Govindam prayers in the morning at Shringar Darshan, but you've also heard that on innumerable occasions being referred to, being cited or quoted from in lectures by devotees, and also very frequently by Srila Prabhupada himself. And I'm sure you've also come across quotations or citations in Srila Prabhupada's books. So you're all familiar with it. And I do not know how many of you have actually attempted to read the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust publication of Brahma Samhita. The commentary or the purport there in that book is by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The language is rather difficult. The subject is also difficult. And then on top of that, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's English language is so refined, it is rather difficult for many of us to understand. So I'm sure some of you have attempted to, and perhaps you weren't able to attain much success in understanding it. So I'll try to make it easy as we go along today. So in any case, the question that arises is why do we consider the Brahma Samhita such an important text? And before we come to that, let's think of why any text is considered important or valuable. What are the criteria by which we determine whether something is authorized or not, something is valuable or not? And by this, I refer not just to devotional or spiritual texts, but to texts in any discipline, material or spiritual. Let's say, for example, physics or mathematics or economics. Yes? So if there is a particular book that is to be considered important or valuable, first of all, its contents must be in line with authoritative understanding. What does this mean? It means that authorities in that particular discipline must agree or must, shall we say, go along with the contents of that book. It must be in accordance with the teachings of that subject as is understood by great authorities. So when great, where very famous, well-known scholarly economists or mathematicians, they teach their subjects in a particular way, and when there is a book that is in line with that understanding, then it's considered authoritative in that field. Moreover, that book, in order to be considered important or valuable, must be endorsed and promoted by those authorities. If something is not really valuable, why would authorities take the trouble of endorsing it? And furthermore, it should also be cited Yeah, there's a spelling mistake here. It should be CITED, cited, not SIGHTED. It was a typo here. So cited and quoted by authorities. And we'll see that all these apply to the Brahma Samhita. Remember that the authorities we speak about here are not ordinary mundane personalities who may be very brilliant. They may be Nobel Prize laureates, but nevertheless, they are still material. They are on the mundane platform. Here, on the spiritual realm, we are speaking about authorities who are transcendentally situated, beginning with the Supreme Lord Himself. So, is the content of a text in line with the teachings of the Supreme Lord, number one? Is it in line with the teachings of the great acharyas, or the great devotees of the Supreme Lord? And the Brahma Samhita certainly is. Because the contents of the Brahma Samhita are perfectly in line with the highest spiritual truth. They explain in detail everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the process of loving Him, including very detailed descriptions of His abode, His form, etc. So therefore, the contents of pure devotion are very, very clearly visible in the Brahma Samhita. Secondly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna Himself and therefore the Supreme Authority, He has definitely accepted the Brahma Samhita. It is in line with His teachings. In fact, there is one verse that is said to convey the essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachitupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Yakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Puranamamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradara Na Paraha. So the meaning of this is written by one of the disciples of Advaita Acharya, whose name was Srinath Acharya. He says, our worshipable Lord is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas. Tanaya means son, Vrajesha means the king of Vraja, Nanda Maharaj. So our worshipable Lord is Nanda Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And the topmost worshippers and devotees of that Bhagavan, that Supreme Lord, are the milkmaids, the gopis of Vrindavan. The highest standard of worship has been exhibited by them. And Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam, Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest evidence, the highest source of authorized or authentic information about Krishna and the process of loving Him. And prema puma arthaha mahan. And the goal of life for all human beings is ultimately to attain that prema, or that pure love of God, in relation to Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Nandana, or son of Nanda Maharaj. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matam. Matam here means the opinion. Tatra adaraha. So we have complete regard, complete respect for the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The above is Mahaprabhu's matam, or his opinion, for which we have the highest regard. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's entire philosophy, so to speak, has been summarized in that one verse. And it also says there that for the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have the highest regard. So the Brahma Samhita's teachings are in perfect conformity with this one verse that encapsulates the essential teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because as devotees we have the highest regard for the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore we must accept the Brahma Samhita as he has glorified this book repeatedly, frequently, and we'll be coming to that very shortly when we study some passages from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly has glorified this book in no uncertain terms. Now, when the Supreme Lord and also his great devotees glorify a particular text, then it also enhances our faith in that text. You know, unless authoritative personalities put their stamp of approval on something, as devotees we don't like to do that activity. Because Mahajano Yena Gatasa Pantha, because we follow in the footsteps of the great authorities. We don't independently chart out our course in the spiritual firmament or in the spiritual field. We must follow in the footsteps of great devotees. Sato vrittehe. So following in the footsteps of great saints, of great devotees. So because they have put their stamp of approval and heartily glorified a particular book like the Brahma Samhita, then it gives us that faith, yes, I must also study this book. And therefore we must consider that this book has great value. We must consider our great fortune to have access to it, and therefore we must take the full opportunity to hear it and to study it and meditate upon it. So none other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly spoken about it and endorsed it. And not only that, another measure of the importance and value of a text
recording in progress.
Hare Krishna, sorry about that. Maybe some internet issues at my end. We have a good broadband, but I don't know, it's acting up a little bit. My apologies for that. Are you able to hear me clearly now?
Yes, we are. We can hear you and see you clearly.
Okay.
I've asked everyone to turn their cameras off just in case that helps with the connection.
Okay, so we'll continue then?
Please.
Yeah. So I was mentioning that in addition to the repeated glorification of the Brahma Samhita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Lord Krishna himself, what should significantly enhance our faith in Brahma Samhita and inspire us to study this text and hear about it is that it has been also frequently cited and endorsed and commented upon by many of our great acharyas. So therefore we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has often referred to it in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami. That's the passage that Gaudiya Vaishnavas generally refer to as Sanatan Shiksha. We also see that Srila Jiva Goswami, of course Kaviraj Goswami has cited this in other places in his text as well, numerous references to Brahma Samhita all over the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Jiva Goswami has also written a commentary on the Brahma Samhita. And he mentions in this commentary that the Brahma Samhita is a very difficult book, but the commentaries of sages have made it easy to understand. So Srila Jiva Goswami wrote that, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wrote a commentary. He mentions that his spiritual master, Bipin Bihari Goswami, asked him to write a commentary in Bengali on the Brahma Samhita, extending the commentary or based on the commentaries of Srila Jiva Goswami, which were in the Sanskrit language. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did that. And then following in his footsteps, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his son and Shiksha disciple, also wrote a commentary or a purport very closely in line with Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's commentary. And it is in English, and that has been published by the BBT, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. In fact, if any of you have the Brahma Samhita book with you, kindly open that or kindly keep it with you so that we'll use it as we go along. And then we see that Srila Prabhupada instructed the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust devotees to print Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's edition of the Brahma Samhita in English. In addition to that, Srila Prabhupada has himself cited it on innumerable occasions in his purports and also in his lectures. So therefore we can understand how important the Brahma Samhita is for all of us. So now, can we have the next slide, please? We will speak about the history of the Brahma Samhita. Actually, as the very word indicates, Brahma Samhita is a composition done by Lord Brahma himself. Lord Brahma, as we all know, is the secondary creator. He has a major role to play in the creation of the universe. So his birth has been rather extraordinary, as is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in various other scriptures, Vedic scriptures. So Brahma was born from the universal lotus flower. When the universes in the material world emanate from the pores of the skin of Mahavishnu as he breathes out, these universes extend, move outwards away from Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu enters into each universe, fills half of each universe with his transcendental perspiration, which becomes the Garbhodaka ocean, and then he lies down in that on the bed of Anantashesha, the transcendental serpent bed of the Lord. And as he lies down, from his navel emerges a lotus flower. The stalk is very long. The stalk moves upwards, and then at the end of the stalk is a flower. Brahma is born on that flower, and as is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he looks around, he hears certain voices, some sounds rather, that ask him to perform austerities. He does. He is blessed by the appearance of the Lord himself, who showers his mercy upon him, enlightens him, empowers him with the task of creation of the universe. So Brahma's birth has been extraordinary, and his enlightenment too. So as he sat on the lotus flower, he meditated, and by Krishna's flute playing, he was initiated. And we'll be reading more about that as we study the different texts of the Brahma Samhita. And the flute sound of Krishna entered into his ears as the Kama Gayatri Mantra. And then it came out as the Vedas. So Brahma was initiated in this most extraordinary fashion. So he was initiated by Krishna through the agency of divine sound vibration of the flute which entered his ears. So Brahma therefore was directly initiated by Lord Krishna himself, who is the original guru, who is the guru of all gurus. Now these are points that have been mentioned by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So since Brahma is the original guru in our disciplic succession, we are in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So therefore our line, our disciplic line is illumined, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, by the divine light of Brahma's worship and revelation. So in pursuance of cultivating the mantra by which he was initiated through the flute sound, Brahma practiced many austerities, and he propitiated the Lord by his perfect meditation. His heart flowered in complete love, and he was imparted extremely deep realizations and visions about Krishna and the spiritual world and the process of devotional service. So in that state of mature spiritual realization, Brahma meticulously compiled the vast mine of perfect conclusions based on the realizations that he just had. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has mentioned this. He says he meticulously collected and compiled this gem called Brahma Samhita, which is a vast mine of perfect conclusions. Thus did Brahma sing the unending glories of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions that the Brahma Samhita is a supreme wealth of humanity. Srila Prabhupada also mentions that Brahma compiled the Brahma Samhita in the maturity of his spiritual realizations. So having compiled this book, this work of so many verses, each of them very beautiful, now it is our duty that since the book has been made available to us, we should try to study it and enhance our devotional sentiments. So this is a brief history of how Brahma Samhita came to be compiled. Can we have the next slide, please? Okay, now with regard to how Lord Chaitanya found the Brahma Samhita, we will see it in these following references. So what we will do is that we will go one by one. So there are these five references at different points in the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in chapter 1, in chapter 9, and also in chapter 11. So we'll find the whole history or the story, the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finding the Brahma Samhita in the course of his pilgrimage to South India after having taken sannyas. So we'll go one by one through each of the following slides, going through these verses. So can we have the next, please? Yes. So Kaviraj Goswami says here, Brahma Samhita Karnamrita Dui Puthi Pana Dui Pustaka Lona Aila Uttama Janina. Translation: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also found two other books, namely the Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita. Knowing these books to be excellent, he took them to present to his devotees. This verse appears in the beginning of the Madhya Leela, where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami summarizes the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Madhya Leela time, that is, from the time he accepted sannyas for about 6 years. He took sannyas when he was 24, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Madhya Leela extended from that age till the age of 30, for about 6 years. So here Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that when he was traveling down south and he had already found another text, certain passages from the Kurma Purana in which it was proven that Ravana had not actually kidnapped Sita, but he had only taken away a Maya Sita, an illusory form of Sita. He was very happy to procure this manuscript because there was a devotee of Lord Ram who was in great agony because of Ravana having kidnapped Sita, and he was meditating on this constantly. So by procuring this text from the Kurma Purana, Mahaprabhu managed to assuage that devotee Ramdas's grief. Now apart from that, so when it is said here two other books, it means books other than the manuscript of the Kurma Purana. So here, which are the two books? The two books are the Brahma Samhita and the Krishna Karanamrita. The Krishna Karanamrita is a book written by a great devotee called Bilvamangal Thakur. It is a very, very famous and highly regarded devotional text. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned it, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, Saraswati Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all have very much appreciated this book. So we can see Kaviraj Goswami says here that Mahaprabhu found these two books. So here in this beginning part of Madhya Leela, Kaviraj Goswami has only summarized everything. He's put it very, very briefly. Elaboration will come in the subsequent chapters of the Madhya Leela, which we will come to. I'll read the purport as well. In the olden days, there were no presses, and all the important scriptures were handwritten and kept in large temples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karanamrita in handwritten texts, and knowing them to be very authoritative, he took them with him to present to his devotees. Of course, he obtained the permission of the temple commander. Now, both the Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karanamrita are available in print with commentaries by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this is the purport of this verse. The important point to note here is that since there were no printing presses available in those days, only handwritten manuscripts were available. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu procured handwritten manuscripts of these and he had them copied. And it is said there, knowing them to be very authoritative, so immediately Mahaprabhu realized and understood that this is a perfect text, a bona fide authoritative text. So he took the permission of the temple authorities there at some place, which we'll come to in the next slide. And then he had them copied by hand. And then he took the copies. Now we come to the ninth chapter of the Madhya Leela. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has traveled far south. He has come along the eastern coast of India, the southern, in the south, in the peninsular region of India, and having crossed many, many important places like Simhachalam, you know, Kurmakshetra, Simhachalam, and then further down, including Tirupati and other places, now he has reached the Payaswini River. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Seidina Choliaila Payaswini Tire Snanakuri Gela Adi Keshava Mandire. Translation. That very night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his assistant Krishna Das arrived at the bank of the Payaswini River. They took their path and then went to see the temple of Adi Keshava. Now the Payaswini River is one of the numerous holy rivers, sacred rivers found in India. Holy rivers are found all over India. Just like in the northern part, we have the Ganga, Yamuna, the Sindhu, Saraswati and many others. And Ganga flows through the eastern part also. And there are many in the western part like Godavari, Narmada. And in the southern part also we have Kaveri, Tamraparni, Kritamala, Payaswini. So the Payaswini is one of the sacred rivers that are found in southern India, in the peninsula, way down south. And so they took their bath over there in that river, and then they went to take the temple of to the take darshan of Adi Keshava in the temple there nearby, near the Payaswini River. So what we'll do is, okay, there's some question here, let me see. When we are referring to Brahma Samhita, are we referring to the fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita? Yes, and I'll be explaining that in a few moments. I'll come to that. So what we will do is, since Mahaprabhu actually went to this temple, and this is the place where he found the manuscript of the Brahma Samhita, let's see a few pictorial slides about this temple of Adi Keshava. Can we have the next slide, please? It is in a place called Tiruvattar, in the Kanyakumari district of Tamil Nadu state in South India, the border of the states of Tamil Nadu and Kerala. And it is built in the old traditional Kerala style of architecture. Personally, I have not had the good fortune of visiting this temple, but I do intend to whenever I go to Kerala. I haven't been there. So, but you can see that it's a very beautiful old style structure. And inside this temple, yeah, can we have another picture? Yeah, so here you see the deity of Adi Keshava. And what's interesting is, no, the slide is not placed in the wrong direction. Normally deities are standing. At least in all our ISKCON temples, the deities of Krishna or Sita Ram or Radharani or Jagannath, they're always standing. But sometimes when it comes to Lord Vishnu, we find in southern India in some temples that the Lord actually is reclining. And we see that even in the Sri Rangam temple, which is the temple of Lord Ranganath. So here, the Supreme Lord is reclining, and it's very interesting. He's very long. The length of his body is about 22 feet. He is in a sleeping posture, and his head is pointing towards the south, and his feet point towards the north. And this temple is considered one of the 108 Divya Desams in the Sri Sampradaya. Divya Desams refers to those transcendental places associated with the Lord and his devotees and their pastimes. So, this is one of those 108. And the temple is surrounded on three sides by rivers, the Kothayaparali and Tamraparani. And in this temple, even today, you will find a spot where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat and read the Brahma Samhita. So, this is where, this is a beautiful deity. And can we have the next slide, please? Okay. So now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this temple and he saw the deity, he had darshan, how does Kaviraj Goswami describe this? Keshava dekhiya preme avishta hoila nati stuti nritya gita bahuta karila. When the Lord saw the Adi Keshava temple, Keshava dekhiya, that means upon seeing Keshava, preme avishta hoila, he was immediately overwhelmed with loving ecstasy for the Lord. Nati stuti nritya gita bahuta karila. So he did many acts of devotion. So he offered obeisances, nati, stuti, he offered prayers, nritya, he danced, gita, he sung. So he did this very profusely, having taken darshan of Adi Keshava in the temple. Yes, please, next slide. Okay, all prema dekhi loke hoilo maha chamatkar Sarvalok Koila Prabhur Paramasatkar. So all the people were greatly astonished to see the ecstatic pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all received the Lord very well. Next, please. Mahabhakta Ganasaha Taha Goshti Koila Brahma Samhita Adhyaya Puthi Taha Paila. So Mahabhakta Gana Saha, in the company of very, very great devotees, Mahabhaktas, Taha Goshti Kaila, he discussed spiritual matters with them. Brahma Samhita Adhyaya. Adhyaya means a chapter. Brahma Samhita Adhyaya Puthi Taha Paila. So Puthi refers to a manuscript or a book. So there he found one chapter of the Brahma Samhita. So actually what we have today as the Brahma Samhita, as published by DDT and as available elsewhere also, is only the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Actually the Brahma Samhita had 100 chapters, but only one of them is still around. But because this one chapter describes the form of Lord Krishna so sweetly and in such a bona fide way, he considers this text to be very, very important, Srila Jiva Goswami. So even though it's only one chapter, but this one chapter is considered the most important amongst all 100. Even though he found only one chapter, but fortunately he found the best chapter, and that's the chapter that he started reading. Next, please. Puthi pana prabhur hoila ananda apar kampashu sveda stambha pulakavikar. So when he found the manuscript containing the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita, so he became ecstatic in love. And these ecstatic symptoms began to manifest in his body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was greatly happy to find a chapter of that scripture. And symptoms of ecstatic transformation, trembling, tears, perspiration, trance, and jubilation were manifest in his body. Kampa, ashru, kampa means trembling, ashru means, the pouring of tears down the eyes, sveda means perspiration, stambha means to be stunned, be in a trance, pulaka means jubilation. So vikara indicates the transformations. So this was the kind of response or reaction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave when he found the chapter of Brahma Samhita and he actually read it. So just imagine in your mind now, picture in your mind Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovering this book there in the Adi Keshava temple and then becoming so enormously overjoyed in ecstatic love upon reading that book. Okay, can we have the next slide, please? Siddhanta Shastra Nahi Brahma Samhita Sama Govinda Mahima Jnaner Paramakarana Alpakshare Kohe Siddhanta Apar Sakala Vaishnava Shastra Madhya Atisar. So, very important verse here. It says, there is no scripture equal to the Brahma Samhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is a supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about Him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in the Brahma Samhita, it is essential among all the Vedic literatures. Can we come back to the previous, to the verse itself? No, I mean to the Sanskrit verse. Yes, yes. In the meanwhile, there are two questions. First question is, does the scripture mention who wrote the Brahma Samhita found by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? As I mentioned earlier, this is titled Brahma Samhita, and it is compiled, it is spoken by none other than Brahma himself, and therefore the name of the book, Brahma Samhita. It is a Samhita of Brahma. Samhita refers to a collection of mantras or verses and so on. So this is the collection of verses, a compilation of verses by Lord Brahma himself. So over time, 99 chapters were lost, and this one chapter, the fifth chapter, somehow or the other, was still somewhere to be found. And Mahaprabhu actually found it in the Adikeshapa temple. The second question here is that in the temple of Adikesha, the Lord was worshipped and served with very high quality of devotional service by saintly devotees. Is that so? Is it still like that in the present day? Pretty much so. Even till today, we do have a very high standard of worship. The Sri Sampradaya has maintained a very, very good quality of worship in all the temples that are in their fold, especially in these Divya Desams, these 108 Divya Desams. So it's another question has come up that I read in the Bhagavad Gita that in the causal ocean, innumerable Brahmas appear and disappear like bubbles. How can Lord Brahma take birth again if he is a pure devotee initiated by Lord Krishna? Is Lord Brahma also subjected to lust and anger? So the answer is that yes, every universe has one Brahma, and because there are unlimited universes in the material world, there are unlimited Brahmas, one in each universe in the material world. Not every Brahma is a devotee. Some Brahmas are Jnani Brahmas, some Brahmas may be Yogi Brahmas, some Brahmas are devotee Brahmas. Our Brahma, the Brahma of our universe, which is a medium-sized universe, neither too big nor too small, has a Brahma who has four heads. And this Brahma, of course, has become a pure devotee. He has been personally initiated by the Lord in the Kama Gayatri Mantra, by the Lord's transcendental flute vibration. And he has been enlightened about the most esoteric, sublime aspects of the Lord's existence and service. So definitely our Lord Brahma, who is the founder of our Sampradaya, he is the Acharya in our line, is the great devotee. So is Lord Brahma also subjected to lust and anger? Not in the sense that we ordinary living entities here are subject. Brahma being such an exalted soul and the personal disciple of the Supreme Lord himself, if at all he exhibits or displays such a behavior that seems to indicate the presence of lower qualities in him, we can understand that this is happening by divine arrangement, by the Lord's own arrangement. So Brahma otherwise is a great devotee, just like Lord Shiva is, and specifically our Brahma over here. Okay, so we'll come back. So Siddhanta Shastra Nahi. Siddhanta means the conclusion. Siddha Anta, the perfected conclusion, the perfect conclusion, Shastra. So there is Nahi Brahma Samhitara Sama. So there is no the scripture that contains conclusions anywhere near that of Brahma Samhita. Govinda Mahima Jnaner Paramakarana. So it is the sublime cause or the supreme cause of the appearance or the origin, you know, of Govinda Mahima. Mahima means the glories or the greatness. Alpa Akshara Kahe Siddhanta Apar. Alpa means less, Akshara means syllables. So in brief, This book has explained the Siddhantas or the conclusions. So what a book doesn't have to be very thick in order to be very authoritative or to be very beneficial. There are so many books which are actually quite small and have only few verses, and Brahma Samhita is one among them. It has 62 verses altogether. Sakala Vaishnava Shastra Madhi Ati Sara. So amongst all the Vaishnava scriptures, Shastras, this book is considered the essence. Okay, next please. Okay, next. And in the purport to the verse that we just read, I am only giving you the first sentence and the last sentence of this purport. What is in between, I will discuss shortly when it comes to the topics discussed in the Brahma Samhita. So purport. The Brahma Samhita is a very important scripture. So there you are. Srila Prabhupada is already stating that it's a very important scripture. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acquired the fifth chapter from the Adi Keshava temple. And then later on, the very last line of the purport says, there is also a description of the sun and the universal form of the Lord. All these subjects are conclusively explained in a nutshell in the Brahma Samhita. The second last sentence needn't be there, but so the innumerable subjects that are being mentioned, almost 39 or 38 of them, they are conclusively explained in the Brahma Samhita, but Prabhupada says in a nutshell. So that is the beauty of the Brahma Samhita. Very succinct, concise explanations of the deepest conclusions of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness. Okay, so let me see, there's some more questions here. Lord Brahma is Jiva Tattva, but not Lord Shiva, right? Yes, you are correct. Brahma is a Jiva Tattva, almost always. And Lord Shiva is in a category of his own. He is neither a Jiva, nor is he Vishnu. He is almost Vishnu, but not quite Vishnu, for various reasons. Okay, so can we have the next slide, please? Yeah. Bahu yatna sei puti nila lekhaiya ananta padma nabha aila harashita hana. Okay, so then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu copied the Brahma Samhita, and then with great pleasure he went to a place known as Ananta Padmanabha. Now an interesting point here that I mentioned already earlier, that since there was no printing press in those days, books were available, but they were only handwritten manuscripts. There were different kinds of leaves which were used as sheets, as paper, and different kinds of twigs and thorns which were sharpened in certain ways, and then they were used to cut into the leaf, or if there was some kind of paper or cloth on which the script was to be written, then there was certain type of ink as well and certain types of paper as well that were available. So today if we want a copy of a particular book, we would go to a photocopy machine. There are shops that give you photocopies. We could have gone there. We could go there and get a copy immediately of a few sheets or a book. Or you just, if it's on in your computer memory or something, then you just have a printer and you print it out. So it is so easy today. But in those days, it wasn't like that. So when it says here that he copied the Brahma Samhita, it may not be that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally sat and copied it out. It may be like that, but there were also professionals or brahmanas who actually did that. So when people approached them, they would actually make accurate copies, precisely accurate copies of the original text. And that is how these books were copied in those days. So, and probably they were given some dakshina you know, in lieu of their service. So then he had this copied, and he carried this text with him with great pleasure. And from there, he went to a place known as Ananta Padmanabh in Trivandrum city, another very famous temple in Kerala. It is said that the Adikeshava temple is much older than the Ananta Padmanabha temple. Okay, can we have the next slide, please? In the meanwhile, I'll just see the question. How would you recognize which Lord Brahma has which type of veils? Why would he have these low qualities? What do you mean by veils? You mean values? Okay. Well, we understand it by his actions. We understand it by the statements of the great acharyas, by the statements of the scriptures. So the scriptures contain transcendental knowledge, which is eternal. But these scriptures are also presented in every universe according to the circumstances prevailing in that universe. So, and Krishna will make available that Vedic knowledge in certain ways depending on the conditions there. So, obviously the Brahma in our universe, being a devotee, was directly given that knowledge. But in universes where Brahma is not a devotee, the Lord will have some other means for ensuring that the transcendental knowledge reaches people at large in the world through the medium of the disciplic succession. Okay, now we come to Madhya Leela, chapter 9. Alright? Brahma Samhita Karnamrita Dui Puthi Pana Maharatna Praya Pai Aila Sange Lana. So, Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita were two books that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be the most valuable jewels. Therefore, he took them with him on his return trip. So, he came all the way down from Jagannath Puri into South India, into Peninsular India, went to the tip of Peninsular India, and then came up. He went down the eastern coast of the peninsula, and he came up along the western coast of the peninsula, and then eventually he went to Pandharpur. So, but on his way up, he didn't go always through the western coast, but he also made a detour sometimes. So he came again to the place called Vidyanagar, where he had met Srila Ramananda Rai originally. So, can we have the next slide, please? Okay. So, we all know, I suppose you've heard about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going southward, he came to the banks of the Godavari, and at a place called Vidyanagar, he had most extraordinarily advanced spiritual conversation with a great devotee called Ramananda Rai. And this Rai Ramananda Samvad means a conversation or a dialogue. That's the name by which this dialogue is known amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Is a big subject in itself. But having gone through that, the Mahaprabhu went south and he came back again to Vidyanagar. And it says here that Tirthyatra Katha Prabhu Sakala Kahila Karnamrita Brahma Samhita Doi Puthi Dila. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Ramananda Rai a vivid description of his travels to the holy places and told him how he had acquired the two books named Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. The Lord delivered the books to Ramananda Rai. Okay? Yes, next please. And then referring to the conversation that he had had with Ramananda Rai previously, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask many deep questions to Ramananda Rai, and Ramananda Rai had given perfect answers to them. Now, with reference to that conversation, Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kohe tumi jai siddhanta kohile, ei dui punthi sei sava sakshi dile. The Lord said, whatever you have told me about devotional service is all supported by these two books. In other words, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heartily endorsed the statements that Ramananda Rai had made previously to him. And this is indeed the way to cross-check the veracity or the authenticity of any spiritual statement. It must be supported by authoritative scriptures. So when Mahaprabhu saw these two books, Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita, and he read them, then he told Ramananda Rai that everything you have said here is completely bona fide, because it also appears that the conclusions of what you have told me are also actually found in these two books. Next, please. Okay. Raira Ananda Ahoila Pustaka Paiya Prabhu Saha Aswadila Rakhila Likhiya. Ramananda Rai was very happy to receive these books. He tasted their contents along with the Lord and made a copy of each. Today we would make photocopies, or we would probably get some other form of, give a USB or something and pass it on to somebody. So Ramananda Rai then was overjoyed, and in the company of Mahaprabhu he relished every verse of these two books, and he did not forget to make a manuscript, a copy for himself. Right? Okay. Can we have the next slide? And then he says, now, this is another conversation from the 11th chapter. Now, after he returned from the trip to South India to Jagannath Puri, at some point, the devotees from Bengal also came there. And one of the devotees was Vasudev Datta, who was the older brother of Mukunda Datta. So, when Mahaprabhu met Vasudev Datta, he told him this, Punah Prabhu kahe rame tomara nimitte doi pustaka ani yachi dakshina hoite. The Lord said, for your sake only, I have brought two books from South India. So these were the two books, Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. Next, please. Swarupe rathaiya che lahata likhiya Vasudeva anandita pustaka paapana. The books are being kept with Swarup Damodar, and you can get them copied. Hearing this, Vasudev became very glad. So you can see how it was quite a painstaking and laborious exercise to copy books. You know, you had to make sure that every single letter, every single alphabet was correctly copied. You couldn't afford to make a mistake in the copying. So the devotees then happily made copies of them, of these books. And that's how, you know, but remember one thing, writing is very, very, is a very powerful method of meditation. Because when you write something, it's not only that your motor muscles of the brain or whatever it is are getting exercised, but actually you absorb yourself with full attention in writing, because you can't write unless you are absorbed, unless you know what you're writing, you're reading carefully, and then you're writing carefully. So it is also an excellent way of remembering and meditating. Personally, I can share with you that I still like to write in notebooks rather than using computers. I may be old-fashioned, I'm sure. Many of you will again cut the connection. Internet is gone again. Internet is gone. See? Electricity बंद कर लो
नेटवर्क चेंज करें जियो कनेक्ट करें लेकिन नेटवर्क
अच्छा मतलब पन ये क्यों करो पानी ये क्या चल
जियो कनेक्ट
चले
मोबाइल पे नेटवर्क पण कमी